You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today we have another rather sad story that's in the news, and that's in Pakistan, where 141 students and teachers were killed by Taliban terrorists. There were a total of seven terrorists wearing suicide vests that attacked an army-run school, and this is really for the dependents or the children of not only army personnel, but civilians that were attending this school. It's a rather large school. It has over 500 students, and 141 are now dead. 132 have been identified as students. There will probably be more deaths because there were a lot of wounded, and it really takes time before we'll know the final count. But it was a bloody situation, and the Taliban set out to do exactly what they did. Their objective was to try to stop the army in Pakistan from attacking their own camps in Pakistan. And I need to emphasize, this is not the Afghani or Afghanistan Taliban. This is the Taliban in Pakistan. And the White House is making that distinction clear because at the end of this month, all U.S. personnel, I say all, there'll probably be a few that will remain, but literally all U.S. personnel will be withdrawn from Afghanistan, not Pakistan, at the end of this month. They've been pulling out in stages, with the last military personnel leaving in about 2 weeks. This is a tragic situation because we're dealing with children here, elementary, high school, that were in classes, their final exams. Some were getting first aid training when the Taliban broke in and systematically killed students. They apparently set fire to a teacher and had the students watch this. You see, the Taliban are against educating women, and that's what they believe. And see, this is one of the common denominators. You will get religious fanatics that believe, sincerely believe, in their religion as they interpret it, and they don't want, for example, women to be educated, nor do they want women to teach. So it's not surprising that they would attack a school. They want women to basically stay home and take care of the children, and that's it. And if they go outside, to cover themselves completely in black. That's the mentality, the religious fanatic mentality that we're dealing with. And it's not just in Afghanistan or in Pakistan. It's also throughout the Middle East, where Sunni and Shia are fighting each other. Now, I want to make a correction to yesterday's story before I continue with this one. Yesterday, and this was a breaking news story, we learned that two people were killed in addition to the hostage taker, who, again, was another religious fanatic. This guy, I think, was a mental case, a con man, as well as he had problems with the law, not only in Iran, but also in Australia. He was a refugee, and he took over a Lint Cafe in downtown Sydney and killed the manager of the store. And unfortunately, not only for the manager, but he also killed a woman lawyer that was protecting a pregnant woman and she had children of her own. And that's the problem when you're in this kind of situation where people are not carrying arms. In other words, by law, can't carry arms. you literally become at the mercy of whoever is doing the killing. And there's no accident that one of the first things that any tyranny does is they take away people's weapons. It doesn't matter whether it was the communist in the Soviet Union, the National Socialist Workers' Party, the Nazis in Germany, the fascist in Italy, as well as the communist Chinese in communist China. Any totalitarian, authoritarian regime, one of the first, the two things they do is they disarm the people, so they literally cannot defend themselves or fight back, and they take over the media. That's why the United States of America has a Bill of Rights where Amendment 1 concerns freedom of religion as well as freedom of the press, and Amendment 2 of that Bill of Rights, the first two amendments of the United States Constitution, and it was required because the states were not going to approve that Constitution unless there was a Bill of Rights. And the first 10 amendments deal with the freedoms and liberties and protections of the people against the government. And our Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution gives the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Now, I'm pointing this out because it's forgotten about. And I said yesterday, and I've included it in the notes for the last show as well as for this show, and I was a little bit vague or confused on my details, so I need to at least clear this up. There was a lady, and I said this in the last show, there was a lady that was having lunch with her parents. It wasn't at a Denny's, it was at a Luby's. And a madman, the guy was nuts, came in and systematically was killing people in the restaurant. And this lady had a permit to carry a weapon, but she made the mistake of leaving it in her car because at that time, and really up to now, it was a felony to carry a weapon in your purse where she carried the weapon. And some stores, restaurants, public buildings, grocery stores, had posted signs. They didn't want you, if you even had a license or permit to carry it, did not want you to bring your weapon into the store. So she thought, initially her reaction is, I got this guy, he's going to kill us if I don't stop him. He had already mortally wounded her father, who tried to stop the gunman, but was shot down. And she went for her gun, and it wasn't there. Fortunately for her, the gunman turned and went in another direction, and she escaped through a window that employees had broken out. But her mother chose to stay with her husband of 47 years and was shot in the head by the gunman. Both her parents were killed in this restaurant. It is a famous incident in Texas. And I have a video of the five worst cases of mass killings in the United States. However, sad to say, what happened in Pakistan is a lot worse. This was not a case of someone with mental problems. This was a case of committed Taliban terrorist selecting a target with the objective of trying to convince the Pakistani army to stop attacking their area of operations as well as their families. They're at war. And in war, those that don't have power will use whatever means they can. In other words, they're in a position of weakness, but to try to strike terror in their enemies, in this case, the Pakistani army. And they were successful. Yes, they all died, but they were committed to dying. They were wearing these suicide belts, vests, with explosives, and one of them went into a classroom with 60 students and blew himself up, killing all that were in that classroom. That is the problem. We're dealing with both evil people, mentally deranged people, cold-blooded killers, terrorists, and it's the innocents that become a target. Because what do these people usually do? They look for a place where you don't have armed police or guards. They look for so-called gun-free zones, where by law, people are not allowed to bring in guns, such as Richland College and the colleges in the Dallas County Community District. You see, if someone were to come on campus today, the only people that can stop them, I shouldn't say the only people, but the ones that could would be armed would be the police that are here. And Richland College is a fairly big campus. Yes, our police have vehicles, scooters, and they could get to most places within a couple of minutes, probably 3 to 5 minutes, depending on where the incident breaks out. But in that time, if someone is committed to doing mischief, and actually beyond mischief, injuring other people, killing other people on campus, he's going to be successful. And when you're dealing with a force of seven, obviously committed fighters that use their weapons all the time because they're engaged in warfare, these people are even more deadly. They're professionals. They're professional killers, and they're committed. They do have courage, but it's the courage of one that is prepared to commit suicide, and they did. The event is over. The Pakistani army now controls the school. But we have at least 141 confirmed dead, and I think that that total will go up. And we have upwards of 200 injured, some very seriously from wounds. So my heart goes out to the people of Pakistan and the families of these students. And I hope and pray that their sons and daughters recover, because this is a horrific incident in terms of the sheer numbers of people that were killed and injured. And it can happen anywhere. It happened in Sydney, Australia yesterday, with two innocents being killed and the killer being killed as well by the police. And it happened again today. Now, however, the body count is much higher in terms of people that were killed as well as the people that were injured. Now, I want to relate it, though, back to the U.S. Constitution. This is very, very important. Every time there's an incident like this, especially in the United States, you will have people, primarily in the Democratic Party, but also in the Republican Party, that blame it on guns. Ladies and gentlemen, a gun is an inanimate object, like a table, a computer, a microphone, a pencil. It doesn't shoot itself. It doesn't load itself. It doesn't shoot itself. Now, they are dangerous, especially when ammunition is in it. And it needs to be respected in that regard. But so is electricity, for that matter. So are knives. So are baseball bats and clubs. All of those kill people. The weapon is not the problem. The problem is we have evil in the world. We have both good people and evil people. We also have the mentally ill, many of them who are on drugs and being treated for their illness. But when the dosage changes, either up or down, somehow snap and go on a killing spree. You would think that this is a common occurrence. Thank God it is not a common occurrence in the United States. Yes, we have a high homicide rate in the United States. The last year, I believe, we have statistics for is 2011, and we had over 12,000 homicides. And unfortunately, over half of those homicides were blacks killing other blacks. I mention that for one reason. That is a story that needs to be told, and the black community needs to address it, because they are by far the innocent victims of a criminal class in their community. It is usually gang, drug related, or you have people that earn a living by robbing people, and they use weapons. And invariably, someone gets hurt, and it's usually the victim. Occasionally, the person doing the crime gets caught or makes a mistake, and the police kill them. That's what happened in Ferguson. That 18-year-old so-called gentle giant was not a gentle giant. He was a bully. He attacked a police officer, and he came back to attack him again, and this time the police officer fired his weapon and killed him. The myth that's being perpetrated across this country by the lunatic lying left is that he raised his hands, and they say, they raise their hands, don't shoot. He never raised his hands. He attacked this police officer. And that's why the grand jury in Ferguson did not find that he was guilty of any crime. There was not enough evidence of any crime. There wasn't a crime. The police officers were doing his job. And the police officer was legitimately defending his life against someone that tried to take his gun away and beat him up when he was still in the car. Yet we have the lying lunatic left marching throughout this country, shouting, "Hands up, don't shoot." That's a fairy tale. That is a lie concocted to incite the lying lunatic left to march across the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, it's insulting the American people's intelligence when we have Americans falling for this big lie. And it is a lie. Because we had witnesses, many of them black, who testified at the grand jury confirming the police officer's account. Yet the myth that was trying to be spread that the police were out of control and this white police officer gunned down a black. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yet we have spent hours and hours and hours covering this story. And the losers, the victims there, were the black community again, the owners of these stores and the people that worked in the stores that were burnt out and looted, mainly by outsiders coming to Ferguson to cause trouble. In other words, evil, a criminal class causing trouble for the people of Ferguson and marching across this nation, including Dallas. You have people that will fall for anything. If you don't believe in anything, you'll fall for anything. And we have a lying lunatic left and their fellow travelers in the media fanning this story. What's worse, by far, is what happened in Pakistan. This is what happens when groups with different religious ideas, actually in this case, most Pakistanis are Islamic, but they don't share the extreme views, religious views, of the Taliban. And when the Taliban attacks people, they're going to defend themselves. And that's what the Pakistani army has been doing. Inevitably, what happens is when a group is just too weak, they can't really engage an army, they will do what they did. They will resort to terror. And they try to terrorize people by picking the innocent in an area where it's a gun-free zone. There are no guards or police officers that I'm aware of. I've been looking at the stories at this school. There may well have been, but when seven Taliban terrorists charged in and started killing people, it took a while for the Pakistani government, both local and national, to respond. And during that time, the Taliban went on a killing spree. And they took it out on women, the students, and that's what they came for. They came to kill people. Just like that madman came to a restaurant in Texas about 20 years ago. He came to kill people. And just like that Iranian refugee came to that cafe yesterday to kill people. You have to understand there's good and evil in the world, and you need the rule of law. You do need government. You do need police to try to protect the people. But the problem invariably is they're reacting to a situation. It could take many minutes, in some cases hours, for an adequate response. That's why the founding fathers were prudent and wise to set forth in the Second Amendment to our Constitution the right of every individual to keep and bear arms, because they knew after fighting a tyrant, a king of England, George, that you needed your weapons to defend your family, your property against the tyranny of a monarch and its government. They were fighting a revolutionary war, and it was hard fought. It was a long war. It was over 7 years. And most of the time, the American colonialists at the time were losing. Yes, they had their major victories, but most of them they were losing. They couldn't engage because the British Army was the largest and most professional in the world at the time. They were the world power. They had a large navy and a large army, and they were all paid professionals. They knew what they were doing. And fortunately for the leadership of George Washington and his other generals and lieutenants, he did not make the mistake of attacking the British directly. He avoided fights. He avoided battles. He picked his spot, and ultimately we won. And as a result of winning, we eventually got a U.S. Constitution that protected the people by granting them the right to keep and bear arms, because that's what any tyrant, no matter what their title, whether it's dictator, Caesar, general, commander-in-chief, president, when you're dealing with a tyrant, one of the first things they try to do is collect your weapons. Outlaw the people from carrying weapons, either owning them, keeping them, or bearing them. And we do pay a price. We do have a very high homicide rate in the United States. But who is doing the killing? It is largely a criminal class of all races that pick innocent victims, unarmed largely, to rob, rape, some cases kill. The criminals don't care about the law, and they show it, because they will engage in this criminal activity, and most of them are armed. That's why it's necessary for the people of any country to be able to defend themselves, first from the government, who wants to take their weapons away, and secondly, from evil or the criminals that also want to take their property or injure their loved ones and maybe even kill them. That's why it's critically important to resist any attempt by any government, including the United States government and politicians of any party, that try to take away your rights under the Constitution to keep and bear arms. Because if you decide, and it's not mandatory, decide to carry a weapon, either concealed or open carry, you have some protection against those madmen. There's no guarantee, and you run the risk of someone taking your weapon from you, but it's your decision how you protect yourself, your family, and property against the criminal class and the fanatics and the mentally ill that come to do you harm. And if you're fortunate to be, or unfortunate to be, in a situation where a killer is committed to killing people, you may be able to defend yourself and others. The problem you get into is the situation in Pakistan, where you were faced and up against not an individual so-called lone wolf that may just be mentally ill or evil or whatever the problem is, where you're not up against just one person, and that could be deadly in and of itself, but when you're up against a committed group that cares little for its own life, and it shows that by them wearing suicide vests. This was a group of 7 Taliban terrorists that already decided they were going to die no matter what, but they were going to kill as many people as possible before they set off their explosives. One did. I don't know whether the other 6 chickened out or were killed prior to it, but this incident shows the problems. We live in a very dangerous world, and it's not gotten any better over time. But you need to keep in mind that these two news stories are they're definitely separate news stories. I don't think there's any connection to them. And even though the one in Pakistan has a high death count, the greatest loss of life is not individuals or small groups engaging in this type of activity. The greatest loss of life is when nations go to war. The most deadly war on this planet was World War I. And I happen to be reading a book on the war that ended the peace, is the title of the book. And what the author is trying to do is determine what led to the war. Because for a long time, there was peace in Europe. And I haven't finished the book. I'm about halfway through it. But I know the conclusion. Nearly 9 million military were killed. I think it's a little over 8.5 million. Many more died of disease. I believe over 20 million were wounded. And then you're not even counting the civilian deaths. And why this war was going on, and immediately after the war, we had a spread of influenza that killed somewhere between 30 and 50 million. You'll get a large range. The point I'm trying to make is governments are the big killers, by far. It is governments, especially when they wage wars against other nations, that kill more people than any one individual killer could ever do. It was a slaughterhouse in Europe. Generations were lost. Millions of young people died senselessly, and it could be stopped. But we had empires and monarchs at war. The Russian, the German, the Austrian-Hungary, the Ottoman, the French, and the British Empire. And the United States got in rather late, but we had a small empire too. And hundreds of thousands from every one of those nations died. It was a slaughter. And it shouldn't have been a surprise, because one of the most deadly war that was fought by the United States was our Civil War. In essence, if you were wounded, you were lucky if you just lost a limb. Most died because of the state of surgery and medicine at the time, as well as the deadliness of the weapons. Remember, in World War I, that is where machine guns, tanks, airplanes, mortars, deadly artillery pounded each other from fixed trench lines. It was estimated that if you wanted to attack a frontal assault and achieve your objective, you would lose, for every one the enemy had, 8 of your own. And that's what the French did, and that's what the British did, and that's what the Germans did. And millions died in really a senseless war that really did not end until the end of World War II. It was really a truce. And we had World War II, and the same countries were fighting each other. The British and French were fighting the Germans, the Nazis. The Russians were fighting the Germans again. Italy did change sides. There was no Austrian-Hungary Empire, but Austria was on the side of Germany and Japan. Governments kill people. Wars kill people. That's why it's vital that the American people protect their Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. Because if you don't, you run the real risk of a government run by a dictator that will get you into wars, that will limit your freedoms and liberties. And what they do is, invariably, they go after your weapons. That's what they do abroad in other nations. In most countries today, you can't own a weapon or carry it. There are exceptions for hunting, but they're few and far between. And that's the danger you run when you give up your rights to protect yourself first against the government, but also protect yourself against the criminal class, the mentally ill, and the religious fanatics, both in Sydney, Australia, and in Pakistan. When you give up your rights to keep and bear arms, you're naked. You have put a target on your back. And what happens is the government and the people that run it truly believe that they can tell you what to do, control your life, dictate how you live and behave. That's what the Taliban is about. They have religious views. They're not tolerant of any other religion. And they, like the religious fanatics running the Islamic State, are killing people every day. They're beheading people. They're shooting them in the head. That's the problem where you have, and we have it, government intervention abroad, where we've been involved in war after war after war. I always ask the question, what is the national interest? Why are we fighting these wars? Why are we sending our sons and daughters to fight these wars? not to mention spending billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to fight these wars. That's the conversation. That is the debate that should take place prior to committing any American troops to military action in any nation. Why are we attacking people? Because once you authorize that, innocent people on both sides are going to be killed. That's the reason the Founding Fathers said only Congress can declare war. Do they follow that rule? They really don't. There have been several hundred occasions where they've totally ignored the Constitution. Now, some of you will argue, and I can argue, that there are situations where you don't have time to declare war. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about situations where there's plenty of time. And we've had presidents that have lied to Congress, the House, and the Senate, and the American people, and have taken us to war. And thousands of Americans have died. Have you heard of Vietnam? Have you heard of the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, where a president and a secretary of defense lied so they could get the commitment of our Congress to commit troops to Vietnam? Governments kill people. And that's why you need to protect your precious rights under the Constitution. Because if you don't, they will slowly but surely be eroded. And that's what's happening today in the United States. We have a president that is dictating how he thinks immigration law should read. That is contrary to the Constitution of the United States. Only Congress makes laws, not the president. The president's responsibility is to enforce faithfully the laws that Congress has enacted. Yet he has seen fit to violate his oath of office and is proceeding with giving illegal aliens that have invaded this country legal authorization to live and work here, which is contrary to immigration law. He does not make immigration law. He does not. He does not have that authority, and what he's doing is illegal, unconstitutional, immoral, and cannot stand. And it's up to the Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, to stop him. And the American people are watching, they're listening, and they're demanding that this be stopped. It is that same president, with his attorney general, that if he could, would repeal the Second Amendment to this Constitution. It is unfortunately we have people in this country that can't connect the dots, and that's unfortunate. They're the first ones, whenever there's a shooting, that want to outlaw guns. Guns are not the problem. People are the problem, and the bigger problem is government that's out of control, and the people running it are out of control. And the most deadly is when governments are at war, because that's when whoever is running a country is greatly tempted to violate the rights of the citizens of any country, but especially the United States. Every time we've had a war, the size and the scope of the federal government has increased. And yes, fortunately, we've concluded these wars, but the government never really gets reduced in size. It just gets bigger and bigger. And now they're trying to do something that's directly against the will of the American people, that hurts the American worker. And that's giving the right to live and work in this country, anyone that can get here. Down that road lies madness. So my sympathy to the families of those that were killed both in Sydney, Australia, and in Peshawar, Pakistan. And with that, I will close my show with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.